Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show, 101.9 High FM. This is the DL Link Show, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. And, you know, being the 18th of July, it's a pretty special day because this is also Mandela Day. And, we honor the legacy of the late President Nelson Mandela, Madiba. It's an annual global celebration, and so it's worth mentioning because a little bit later I'm going to be speaking to a very special doctor who is conducting amazing, amazing surgeries in honor of Mandela Day, and it's actually a whole week's event. And it's really extraordinary in how many lives are being so positively affected. So that's going to be coming up a little bit later, I suppose. The question would be, you know, does Mandela Day mean anything to you? Still after all this time, are you doing anything? Always good to hear. You can always send a message to us here on this beautiful Thursday afternoon here in Joburg on Chai FM. So we always bring you stories of warriors who have faced all sorts of adversities. And each and every time I find myself being incredibly, incredibly inspired. And our first guest on the show today, wow, just reading her story. And it's not just the story, it's the tone of her voice and her story and her outlook. Something I almost want to bottle, because she has such an extraordinary way of living her life and seeing things. And so I'm really, really excited to have Lerato Monyatsi, who is a colon cancer survivor. She's a warrior, on the show, today. Lerato, welcome. And thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Nikki. And thank you so much for the invite, and happy Mandela Day to you and your guests.
Happy. So, I mean, you're pretty phenomenal with the story. As I said, you know, I get to speak to you. I'm so privileged. Amazing people. And, you know, Lerato, just reading your story and getting the tone of your voice and an idea of your outlook on life and, you know, the cancer diagnosis, which we'll get to, just amazing, amazing, amazing. And I always like to ask this question. Was this something, this diagnosis, did it initiate this outlook, or have you always had this way of looking at the world?
Thank you for that question. I suppose I'm just a positive person that loves life, that loves looking at the outdoors and, you know, looking at life differently. I think there's so much negativity going all around that I've kind of, you know, and I've got a 15-year-old son that I've taught him, look at the positive way of life and look at what it is teaching you. And if you struggle with inspiration, just go outside. There's so much that is happening outside. There's so much life that you can look at and say, oh my goodness, you know, I can go through a journey of tough times, but what does that look like at the end of the day? So I've always kind of, growing up, loved life, loved the outdoors and just enjoyed nature.
And you're so right. I also do. I wish I could remember Einstein's quote about nature, but it has just eluded me. But I feel the same way you do, Lerato. And I very often when I have questions about life, like why is this happening or what's happening? And it's the turning to nature because the answers all seem to be there. So what wise words for your son. I love that. And you are a climber, and we're going to be talking about the fact that you're going to be climbing. But before we get there, skirtgirlhiker.com. Did this happen before you were diagnosed with cancer? Perhaps you can tell us a bit about that.
Yes. So, I suppose that I'll say I'm a modest girl. I climb mountains and I wear skirts only. So everybody has kind of been always surprised. What is this lady doing out, you know, on the outdoors climbing mountains and she's wearing skirts?
So,
yes. And you know what? I kind of, as I said, I always look at the positive, and if there's an opportunity for me to teach someone, I'm happy to do that. Right. So I've always said, just be authentic, be yourself. And you know, if people don't accommodate you, they'll catch up to you. And I suppose growing up, I've kind of enjoyed being in skirts, felt modest, felt beautiful. And then, you know, I started hiking with a skirt and everybody on the mountains kind of said, oh, there's the lady with the skirt. And that's where the name came from, Skirt Girl Hiker. And kind of everybody recognizes who the Skirt Girl Hiker is. It's that lady that hikes with skirts. And I think it was then I kind of wanted to bring everybody on a journey, you know, who I am, how I hike, and kind of paint a picture for everybody that isn't able to get outside. You know, when they read my blogs, they're able to kind of see themselves out there. And that's the feedback that I've always gotten. And yeah, I think it was a blessing, definitely, you know, having gone through this journey and actually using the blog. But I've always been a Skirt Girl Hiker, known as such.
I love that. But, and we'll talk about, as I say, I keep saying we're going to talk about it, but before, prior to the diagnosis, the Skirt Girl Hiker, everyone knows you, you're blogging. What kind of message, besides encouraging people to go outside, to connect with nature, why did you do it? Why did you want to share?
Certainly for me, it was more of healing. I do struggle a lot with anxiety, or I struggled a lot with anxiety. And I felt that, you know, just when I get outside, and I suppose I grew up doing that because my dad was a fisherman as well. My mom loves nature. And just getting outside for me was so much healing. You come back with a different different outlook in life. I then, you know, kind of ask myself, who actually directs all this? And that's where the outlook of God came in, because my faith, I'm very close to my faith, right? I'm a Christian girl, raised as such, and I always looked at God. And that's kind of the journey that I wanted to take, you know, people, through, to say, if there's nothing else and you have really given up, just come into my blog, read up. It'll tell you so much about just being a happy person, but more than that, there's healing through, you know, through nature. And certainly if you want to take more people out on your journey, certainly when you start getting outside, please do write about it, because I think the more people, the more voices, the more healing we see out there. So I then started seeing a lot more people getting outside. And more and more I'm hearing, Lerato, I actually started hiking because of you. I'm like, what? And you never know where your blog lands, or who it touches and what message, because everybody picks up a book or, you know, a blog and they read something completely different. It could be just a one liner and that somebody was looking for motivation, or hope, or anything, or just to get outside, or what do I do next? So it gave a lot of people a lot of messages, and I'm happy, that I'm seeing more people getting outside. And certainly healing, is part of it. And staying close to God, I think the Creator has always been, you know, my core message as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, amazing. So what happens when a girl, a woman who has this relationship with her Creator, who is so inspirational, who is encouraging people to go out and to be one with nature, to be healthy, what happens when that person is diagnosed in 2020 with colorectal cancer?
Sure, Nikki, I think that was, if I track back to it, that was one of the most toughest moments in my life. And I think even then it was before COVID, right? And I was really questioning a lot. Why me? I'm the most healthy person that I know. I am obviously, you know, divorced with my son's father. And I thought, oh my goodness, what happens to him then? You know, that's kind of, I got really upset, you know, and it does happen, right? You get upset with a Creator saying, but here's a 15-year-old or 13 at the time. What do I do with this child? Why would you give me this life only to cut it short? You know, there's just so much that, that went through my mind, that I was questioning a lot. And, I suppose, you know, when I started reaching out to, it was a tough journey. When I started reaching out to my pastor's wife, and just asked the church to pray for me, that's when I started kind of, you know, slowly coming out of it, but the questions were still there, right? You get angry, you question a lot, and you just almost want to give up in life already and say, okay, well, if I'm going to walk this tough journey, rather take me now, you know? But it was tough. It was not easy at all.
Wow, wow. And it coincided with, as you said, COVID. So everyone goes into lockdown. Everyone is isolated. You have your blog, but you are disconnected. You're not able to just be in your beautiful nature that soothes your soul. And but you have the support that you're talking about, because we always find the power, the healing power of support. And that's what we really, really encourage on this show. And we always hear people's stories of how they come through things because of support. So, Lerato, how long did it take? As I said, with the COVID, how long did it take before you felt there was that glimmer, that feeling inside of you once again, the feeling of connection, hope, the light?
I'll even take you through the journey of how I got diagnosed, right? So it was 2019. I really kind of went through this journey of feeling uncomfortable with my colon. There was just something that was off. I didn't understand what was wrong. Kept on going to doctors. Doctors told me, you know, it's probably hemorrhoids. You just need to, have it checked out and you'll be fine. And actually during COVID, then I started researching a lot. And I know doctors always say, you know, don't go to Dr. Google. But actually, that was my saving grace, because it was only me and my son at the time. And I started doing some research to say, you know, let me write out everything that is going on with me. Let me keep track of everything. And then I started going on Google, just trying to see and analyze, right? Because I've kept a notebook for quite some time, for about 3 to 4 months. Let me write down, let me just try and analyze. And obviously, you know, I'm in training and you want to do research before you kind of go and educate people. And with that, that's when I thought, okay, this is definitely colon cancer. It was COVID. I couldn't go to hospital. Until then, obviously, my colon kind of bloated, or my abdomen bloated. And that's how I landed in casualty. I was then told, look, you probably have something. We can't say what it is, but you have to see the surgeon quite urgently. After 3 days, I saw the surgeon, and he kind of immediately took me into the colonoscopy. And that's where, you know, the diagnosis, stage 3 colorectal cancer was, kind of came through. I think the challenge with that, it was not only the fact that it was cancer. It was also the fact that we have to take your colon out. And we have to replace it and divert your output with a colostomy. I think that was, for me, mind-boggling, because I had never heard of this. What is this? Now you have to, you know, there's cancer, they've taken it out, but there's this challenge of this colon, the colostomy that I have to live with. And I think that, for me, was kind of, that's where I kind of spiraled down. I could deal with the cancer because I had read up on it, you know, and life kind of has a way with dealing with us, right? Because you kind of have, you know, you know so much and you've read up, you're kind of ready. And this was kind of thrown me on the side to say, actually, there's this colostomy as well that you have to wear, or that you have to live with for the rest of your life. But I will tell you one thing, reaching out, you know, we know that we always don't have it in control. And I know single mothers have this, you know, I've got it in control. I don't have to reach out. You know, I've got it. I've got it all in me. But in reaching out to my pastor's wife and my friends and the hiking community, that was my saving grace, because as I went through this journey, I started then saying, Lerato, you are also a training person. How can you heal yourself and also take people through the journey of educating? That's when I started talking so much about, you know, this is what befell me. This is what a colostomy is. This is how you live with it. Just to get people to know and almost, inverted commas, accept me. But I was struggling with accepting myself at that time. But the support was amazing. And just having that support, I cannot stress it enough, that as people get diagnosed, they need to stay close to their families, friends, because this cancer works with your mind. And the minute your mind goes down, your body kind of succumbs and follows suit, you know. So I always tell people, kind of go outside, look, it's the smallest thing as a flower. Look at it and just ask yourself, who made this? How did this come about? You know, how did it grow from nowhere else but from here? How did this come about? And that's where kind of your cells in your body starts being happy. starts kind of beaming. It took me a while. It took me a while. I think about 6 months, because I had to go through the chemotherapy and radiation as well. And yeah, it took me a while, and it is what it is, right? I always say, meet yourself where you are, be kind to yourself, be gentle. And with that realization, that's when I kind of said, okay, Lerato, this is where you are. Just, rely on the support that is there for you, and just open up, be okay that you don't have it all in control. And that's kind of where I was.
Wow, just amazing. And you're a beautiful storyteller. I love that. Just going outside and looking at the flower, we say it, right? Smell the roses. But I love what you saying when it comes to that. And that's connecting with the wonder of life. People look at me and they shake their heads sometimes, because I'm not a scientist, not by any stretch of the imagination. I rather connect with the magic of life. I think my life is magical. I think everything is magical. And I love what you said. It's like connecting with the very essence of the magic, or the creation, or creator, or whatever it is, as you said, and the cells in you start to vibrate. And I think that there are people who are listening right now who can completely relate. They can completely get it. And perhaps there's some who long to be in that place. But I think that what you've said is beautiful, because everyone can go outside and look at a flower. And I really love that. Now, you spoke, Lerato, about, so the label for you talk about this whole thing, having this bag, and really not only are you going through cancer, but it's a whole new way of living your life moving forward. So you're an ostomate. Ostomate. Yes. Is that the correct way of pronouncing it?
That's the correct word. Yes. Ostomate. Okay.
So ostomate. And amazing that you started to blog and that you shared and people connected with you. Did you find, when you did it, did you find a lot of people who are also ostomates connected with you, that you realized that there was a community out there that had no voice and had no connection?
You are so spot on. I think when I learned about being an ostomate, I thought, I'm probably the only one in South Africa. And how do I start telling people about this? And there's obviously that connotation, especially I'm going to talk about, just be open with you, right? And I'll talk about the African community as well. They tend to say it's not their thing. They don't get cancer. They don't become ostomates. Where does this come from? Mm-hmm. And that community that I almost wanted to teach and educate and say, actually, it can be anyone. And as I started researching about, what is an ostomy, because my doctor did give me a week before I actually went through that surgery, to kind of get used to it. Then I started reaching out to people from the US, Canada, and just, engaging with them to say, how are you living with this thing? What is this thing? And the first thing that I was told is, don't call it a thing. You're an ostomate, and accept it. Once you bring it home to you, you are able, it's more easier to start accepting. We tend to say it's that thing or that ostomy. Once you bring it home, it then starts to become part of you. And that's how I thought, okay, let me actually walk this journey and then start educating. But I found that the more I spoke about it, more people kept on saying, I know somebody who has it, and I didn't know what it was. I know my uncle had this. I know my sister has this. Oh, I know somebody who was born with this. And that's where the community started kind of getting together, and I met up with a guy from Cape Town, and we, he had started an organization called South Africa Ostomate Society. And I thought, okay, instead of starting my own thing, because I've got the skirt girl Heiko already, we can actually partner and just be louder. Together, and we've walked the journey together as SAS, just educating people and saying, hey, listen, you can talk about it. We can actually get to the government, speak to cancer about it, and say, we are actually struggling with supply, medical supply. And we were invited to different hospitals, just to talk to ostomates, people that are living with these with the bags. And I suppose people were quite surprised how I kind of quickly transitioned from, oh my goodness, what is this, to this is who I am, this is what I'm living with. But I certainly wanted to get out again. I wanted to get out in nature. And one thing that I'll tell you about, speaking about the community and the hiking community that actually accepts you, they sewn it's like a doll, a wool doll It's a skirt girl hiker, similar to me, exactly me. But if you raise up the skirt of that little doll, it's got a blue ostomy bag. And oh, I think that kind of brought it home to say, Lerato, if this community can accept you, why can't you accept yourself? And why can't you tell more people about it? And more people can actually get hope. And that's when people started calling me independently, hey, listen, I've got this ostomy. And it was because of cancer. Can I talk to you about it? Or, you know, people would call me, Lerato, my uncle has this. Can you talk to him? And I suppose, you know, just engaging with different people, that's when I thought, oh, my God, what a community. What a massive community that I didn't even know we had in South Africa. And I had to reach out to Canada and all that. But, yeah, now we've got a community. People know about me and people know about others. We've got a WhatsApp group of about 70 people in there, and we talk. I always say, meet yourself where you are. Yeah.
Just amazing. And, of course, I think it was in 21 or 22 that you then climbed Kilimanjaro to raise funds for Ostomates.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. So in 20, I mean, yeah, as I was going through the chemo, I'll start there. As I was going through the chemo, a friend of mine called me and said, Lerato, I dreamt of you. And I saw you on one of the top mountains. And I said, are you nuts? You're crazy. I am on a chemo bed and you're telling me about climbing mountains again. And said, well, I know, because you're constantly on your Dropbox looking at all the pictures, you know, of your hiking pictures from way back when. And I said, yes, I am. But I don't think I'll be able to climb again. And said, well, you know, take it or leave it. That's kind of my dream. I thought I'll share it with you. And yeah, I wrote in my little book, you'll be amazed how the energy of writing and seeing your handwriting kind of brings so much to life. And I know many motivational speakers usually say, write your goals down, you know, write them down and you'll be amazed. So I had written in 2 years' time, or before I hit 2 years' time of my cancer diagnosis, I would have climbed Kilimanjaro. The diagnosis was in June 2020. And in July 2022, I had already submitted Kilimanjaro. So you'll be amazed at that. And I just wrote it down and I started planning. And obviously with that small, you know, small steps daily, kind of I had that vision of climb Kilimanjaro, but don't do it for you. It's not a Lerato show. This is for people that have lost hope to say, you can do it. If she can do it, you can do it. And maybe your mountain is not a Kilimanjaro. Your mountain is something completely different. Just know that you can do it. It starts with the mind, but you also have to write it down and work towards something. So, yeah, I did climb Kilimanjaro. I thought I was crazy. And my mom was like, no, Lerato, I don't think that's the greatest thing that you've ever, you know, thought of. Especially, I think it's too soon. You know how mothers are. And I acknowledged and I agreed with her that perhaps it's too soon. But why not if I feel up to it? And I went, as crazy as that sounds. I went to Kilimanjaro.
Incredible, magnificently powerful, crazy, I would say. You know, as you're sharing your story, Lerato, I hear someone who, when you had the diagnosis, you have that moment of, as you said, the why me, the anger, the pulling away from faith or whatever it is, and then coming to terms with it, and then leaning into a supportive community and allowing people to support you and hold you and carry you when you can't carry yourself. And then a very important stage is deciding, what can I give back? How can I make a difference? And, you know, we look at this arc of this experience of yours. It's quite unbelievable. And I'm just emphasizing it because I really would like people who are listening to the show, to see the example, that you have set and, you know, to hear your voice and to hear your insights. And it really is beautiful, and it really is inspiring. One last question before we do say goodbye, Lerato, is how are you now and what are you up to?
I'm completely healed. I want to hold on to that. I do go on an annual basis for my colonoscopy. I do go, you know, with to the oncology to just check if everything is in order. Currently, everything is in order. And I'm just holding on to that, you know, and I keep raising funds. As I said, for Kilimanjaro, I raised funds for cancer patients, as well as, you know, ostomates. And we've supported the ostomates through cancer. So I'm certainly fine. And I continue to talk about it because, yeah, you never know, you know, who needs to hear what at any given time. I do get invited now and then to just kind of, it's not, I wouldn't say motivational speaking, but, you know, people just, they come and encourage others. I don't want to call it motivation. I just say it's just encouraging others that are going through similar, or families are going through similar situations, you know, so to know that there is people that are walking through this journey, and yeah, you just need that support. And I'm happy to handhold. I always say I'm happy to handhold, because sometimes people do call me from different walks of life, and they call me up and they say, I don't know you, you don't know me, but this person that's going through this, I just needed you to help me. And I say, actually, may I talk to the person directly? They need to allow themselves to meet themselves where they are. And it's always been such a big circle that I've opened up. I always say, when you rise, you need to lift as well. Because if I look at Kilimanjaro hike, right, there were so many other people that were helping me hike Kilimanjaro, the porter. So you need that support. Whether you're on the mountain or on foot or in the workplace, you need that support. And I've always had a greatest support. And I always say I will do the same for the next person. Yeah, but at the moment I'm healthy and doing well, climbing mountains, doing Reunion Island and Malawi Mountain. So yeah, I've been doing great.
You're continuing. It's onwards and upwards, literally.
Onwards and upwards. Yeah.
Lerato, thank you for coming onto the show. Thank you for you. Thank you for sharing your story and for everything that you're doing, really being an inspiration, because you know you've walked it, you're climbing it, and for, you know, and that's what the show is all about as well, is that you're not alone. And we love to hear other people's stories. So you are a light, and it has been absolutely wonderful having you on the show. And all the best. Go climb all those mountains, conquer them, and just wishing you love, light, vitality. Thank you, Lerato.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I really appreciate you and your listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Lerato Munyatsi, what an amazing story. Colon cancer survivor. She was this warrior, summiting mountains, opening to people. And really, she is really embodying everything that the DL Link stands for, which I love.